Good morning and welcome to our services here at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We're thankful that those are on Zoom, those are here with us this morning, and those who will listen to us on sermon audio. Our message this morning is from the book of Ezra, chapter 9. And this is 15 verses long, this chapter, and we've been spending some time in here because it deals with a problem that came up as Ezra is informed of what has been going on there in Jerusalem and Judah and Benjamin after his arrival. And not long after his arrival is it brought to his attention. He shares with us as we go through this prayer that he, like everyone else, is included in the problem, that we are all children of Adam and that we have all fallen. And it's brought out apparent in this passage of Scripture some of the problems that that brought. Ezra, as he prayed, he included himself and all the prophets, all the priests, and all the kings, and then including everyone that has ever been born, Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned. Here in the book of Ezra, chapter 9, beginning with verse 10, verses 8 and 9 deal with the gospel as Ezra preached it in his clarity, as he spoke of the remnant, as he spoke of grace, as he spoke of mercy. He understood those things like every believer does, and every preacher of the gospel understands something about those things, and they are able to share the truth of the gospel. If we don't know the gospel, we cannot share the gospel. As mentioned in the Bible class this morning, there was those Indians, Native Americans, that were code talkers, and they were Navajos. And their language was of such that no one ever broke their code. Now, it might be possible for you or for me, if we were the right age, to learn the Navajo language. It would take a lot of time. It would take a lot of study. It would take someone that was speaking to us and cared about us learning that language. But I can say this with all sincerity and with all truth, that I can never teach you the gospel. I can never break it down small enough. I can never declare it enough. No one can ever be educated into the gospel. No one can ever be educated into the church. Many people, even those who have great names out in front of their church, the respected Christian churches, so many of them believe that they can educate their children or the children of others, given enough time, into the kingdom. And we might be able to learn the Navajo language, but we will never, ever learn the gospel. It is a foreign language. It is so foreign to our nature. And in fact, it is so foreign that it has to be revealed to us. The Holy Spirit must reveal it. All right, now look. Let's look here over in the book of Ezra, chapter 9. And we have Ezra speaking, verses 10 through 15. He is speaking of the situation, that he knew the problem. That's a true statement about anybody that knows the gospel. They know the gospel, they know the problem. The problem is ruined by the fall. And he addresses that in verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. He addresses the problem that nobody was ever able to keep the law. And by our nature, we are drawn away. We have all kinds of interests that are brought to us by nature, but we don't have the interest in Christ. Have we not all from the womb been seeking out and forming strange alliances and taking up connection with anything and everything rather than being married to Christ? Isn't that our nature? Married to the law, wedded to our own self-righteousness, married to strange religions, married to the ordinances, married to the church membership, married to an experience, married to a declaration of doctrine, anything but the true marriage, Christ as the groom and the church as the bride. We notice here that in these verses of Scripture that he points out the problem, we're all sinners. Let's just read a couple of these. Now, O Lord, O our God, verse 10, what shall we say after this? What shall we say after the gospel? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess, it is an unclean land with filthiness of people of the lands, with their abominations, with their false religions. That's the problem. Which have filled it from one end to the another with their uncleanliness. Now, Ezra is making reference to a passage back in the book of Exodus. Would you join me back in the book of Exodus chapter 34? Exodus chapter 34. Now, we read part of this last week, but we want to read a little more in this week because it drops down and shares with us what will happen if people go and into the land with the attitude that the religion that they've been practicing, the Jewish religion, authored and presented by God, that religion has no better standing than the religions of the people in the land. That's what they're saying when they go and adopt that. Now, they may say that I'm going to go out looking for a wife, I'm going to go look out and look for a husband, but their religion is not at all that bad. And besides that, the women are cute and the guys are handsome. The religion is not all that bad. If we accept a religion, we're saying it's just as good as anything else. Or we might say that we're adopting something maybe just a little bit better than we've been in. But when God saves us by his grace, that's all become nonsense. And as Paul brought up, it was all dung. It is nothing but fertilizer. Well, here in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, beginning with verse 10, Exodus 34 and verse 10, it says, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible or a marvelous work, a marvelous thing which I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. Now that all has to do with the religious worship that's going on here. You cannot have any of this. If you know the gospel, you cannot have any of this. Now, the Lord brings out there in that verse 10 that he has something that the world has never seen. And that truly is the gospel. Men were religious from the very fall. Women were religious from the very fall. Religious to the heart. They believed in something else besides God. They're so easy to accept fig leaves over anything else, because that's our nature to adopt. We will not get involved with God. We are not listening to his law. We can't keep it, and we don't want to keep it. We only say we're keeping it for righteousness' sake. But you shall destroy all these things. Thou shalt, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Now, the real problem is going out there in the world, in this land that the children of Israel just came into, and adopting these other religions. The secondary part of it is marrying people that hold to that religion, those religions. You cannot marry these people if you know the gospel. You will, and he's just pointing out that religion is so easy, but the gospel only comes from God. It's a new thing. It is not something you're going to find in this world. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, verse 15, and they go a-whoring after their gods. Look at that. This is the problem. It's going after their gods and do sacrifice to their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons. What's the first part? accepting the idolatry, accepting the gods, accepting the groves, accepting the altars, accepting this false religion. And then they take of their daughters unto their sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. So the real problem is the heart will adopt anything else but the gospel. That's just natural. And these folks were saying they were Jews. These folks were saying that they were Israel. These folks were saying they were following God and then going into the land and seeking out these false religions, and it was attested by the fact that they were Marian. That's secondary. And that is what was brought to Ezra's attention here in Ezra chapter 9. They were adopting these false gods. Now, there is a great king and a great king's end. I have difficulty reading this passage of Scripture because it shares with me about one by the name of Solomon. But before we turn over to 1 Kings 11, would you stop with me at 2 Samuel chapter 12? 2 Samuel chapter 12. I would encourage you at this very moment, from this very moment, never say what you won't do. Never say what you won't do, because people have said, I would never do what Solomon did, and I have what used to be my friends doing that very same thing, adopting idolatry, changing the gospel, preaching things that are not the truth from the pulpits of their churches. Here in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read there in verses 24 and 25. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. This is after the death of that baby that was born to Bathsheba and to... After the birth of that baby that was born to Bathsheba and to David, after their adultery. And that baby died. Now they have another baby. And that baby is going to be Solomon. Here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and we read there in verse 24. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. That is just an amazing verse of Scripture. Now, Solomon means peaceful. Now, the same man, the same prophet, the same preacher, the same declarer of God's word, Nathan, comes to David and to Bathsheba again after the birth of this baby. And it tells us in verse 25 these words, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord, because of Jehovah. Now, Jedidiah means beloved of Jehovah. You know, as Solomon grew, and then as David passed on and Solomon assumed the throne, we just find him such a gentle king, and he performed so much. He was given the opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted, and he just said, please show me how to lead this people. And God came and says, you didn't ask for riches, and you didn't ask for the things that most people would ask for, so I'm going to give you that, but I've given you wisdom. So Solomon was such a special king. The queen of the south came up to observe the court of Solomon and to visit with Solomon. And in her concluding remarks about Solomon and about all that was going on, says, I've heard of you, but the half has not been told. That truly is a statement that all believers say about the Lord Jesus. The truth is in the Word of God, but we don't know the half of the truth of it. We haven't comprehended it. We see through a glass darkly. But what a statement is made here. And then we turn over to the book of 1 Kings and find some of the most difficult verses of Scripture to read, because here we have Solomon in his old age. Solomon in his old age. And that is brought out here in 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon in his old age. 1 Kings chapter 11, and there in verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall ye come into you, for surely they will turn your heart after your gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Did you notice that? It says, Solomon was old, and his wives turned his heart. Solomon was old, in his old age. Now, Solomon was used to pen a book that we have here in the Old Testament, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So would you turn over with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, I've had some tell me, but it's completely unprovable, but I'd like to think it's true, that Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon before he died, when he finally saw the travail of his way. Now, I can think that, I think. But here in the book of Solomon, remember, verse 1 of chapter 12, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." He's simply talking about the process of aging here. You know, I wish I didn't have to wear glasses, but I can't read a lick without them, and I'd probably be dangerous driving without them. So far, I haven't had to adopt hearing aids. So far, I don't have a false shoulder, I don't have a false elbow, I don't have a false hip, I don't have a false knee. Those things, the wisdom that God has given doctors that can repair people that have those problems. But we are in a state of aging, and that's what Solomon is bringing out here. He says, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble," we just wonder what's going on around us, hearing things in the night, "and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease," getting kind of hunched back and drawn over, "and the grinders shall cease because they are few." It's not so prominent today, but my mother had false teeth when she was in her 30s. It was one of those processes that we went through. And those that look out the windows be darkened, the eyes are darkened, "and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of grinding is low, and shall rise up the voice of the bird." We just get up early, "and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden." The smallest thing is the thing that bothers us. "The desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken as the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now Solomon, excuse me, Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11 gives us a terrible plight, a terrible picture, that he is there surrounded and going out in places he should have never gone to worship a false god. Now Solomon has many characteristics that are reminders of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon was a son of David, and the Lord Jesus is the son of David. What a connection Solomon had and the Lord has and we have with the Lord in that. Solomon's given great wisdom. And we read in the book of 1 Corinthians that the Lord is our wisdom. He is all wisdom. And Solomon built the temple. Solomon was used to build the temple, and his father had amassed all of the materials, or most of the materials there, and Solomon was used to build it, and then we find him dedicating the temple with mass sacrifices. And Christ, he's building the true temple, the church. He's adding unto the church daily such as should be saved. He is the master builder building the temple. And we find, after reading this passage of Scripture over here in the book of 1 Kings, the problems that Solomon had, the problems that he faced, the problems that were introduced to him, and his heart was drawn away. Solomon married many strange women. And you know, as we look about and see what God has placed in the church, when we see ourselves in the church, Christ's bride is made of what? Nothing but sinners, strange. We are the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. We are the Moabites. We're all of those strange religions. And yet the Lord overlooks all of that in the covenant of grace and brings us the gospel, the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus. And he gives us a new birth. And all of those things are taken from us. But we would turn in a moment if we're not kept by the Lord. I don't understand all the purposes of God in letting Solomon do what he did. But I know from this that we, by the grace of God, are what we are only by the grace of God. And we could just as easily. John Mark turned on the Apostle Paul, but we're thankful that towards the end, they were good friends and fellow servants of the Lord. Now, there in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, the last two verses. Now, I'm convinced that Solomon understood that he could not do this on his own. And I just think and look forward to, maybe it will never mean anything. Maybe I won't have to have any answer to it. When I pass from this life to the next, it won't be important because Christ will again and for always be the issue. But he says here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. These 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes and all those chapters of the book of Proverbs and the Psalms that he was used to write and his legacy, his great work, the temple, his wisdom, his able ability and able to deal with those great issues that came up. Remember the two women that brought that one baby before him? And he demonstrated great wisdom, and the mother was immediately identified by, she didn't want that baby dead. And the other woman, it doesn't matter to me. Go ahead and cut it in half. Well, Solomon demonstrated great wisdom, but in the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, reverence God, love God. And we can only do that in regeneration. And keep his commandments. We only have one that has kept it for us, kept the commandments of God. And it is his righteousness that's imputed to us. The righteous Son of God kept all of them. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man. We can't do it by nature. We can't do it on our own. We can't be educated to do this. As much as someone may want to berate us and beat us, we can't do it. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, we are so thankful that God puts all of our sin, imputes all our sin, past, present, and future sin, upon the Son of God, places it upon him. You know, in Galatians, we find much of what we read with regard to Solomon, and that is, as Paul wrote to those Galatians, chapter 1, you know, he could have just as easily wrote those words to Solomon. He could have just as easily wrote those words to anybody else that has shown an interest but has been drawn away. And I believe that Paul's interest was to bring these folks to themselves, to bring them to where they stood before God. What were they trusting in? Were they trusting in their works? Were they trusting in keeping the law? Were they trusting in the blood and righteousness of Christ? He is just trying to get them to see themselves. Adam, where art thou? Folks at Galatia, where are you? Where are you when it comes to Christ? He said here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, this word that Ezra could have said, and in some ways he did to all those folks that had gone after false religion. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I marvel. You know, Ezra marveled. He was astonished at what he heard. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. I marvel, Solomon, at what you're doing in your old age. Now, some of you folks knew my mother, and when she came to live here in the Dalles, she didn't know me, she didn't know Nancy, she didn't know our grandchildren, she didn't know anybody. I loved her. I loved her to the day she passed. I still love her, but I'm convinced she didn't know the gospel. But that wasn't because she had Alzheimer's, and Alzheimer's didn't put her in the kingdom. But she didn't know anything. So I can see that there are those, maybe myself, who will get to the point that I say things that I would not never say normally under the gospel, but I may say in my old age. And Paul deals with that when he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now in Solomon's household, we know who that was. But his heart was in that, or he would not have been caught up in that. And we find with those folks there in Ezra's day, their heart was in that. They went to adopt these things, and then the girls weren't that bad looking, and the boys were handsome too. I marvel of what you've done. But though we, the Apostle Paul, any of the preachers that these folks knew, preachers of the gospel, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we say before, so say I again, now again, if any man preach any other than ye have received, let him be accursed. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to explain a whole lot about the gospel and what the gospel is not. And it is not trying to get our righteousness by keeping the law. It is not trying to get our salvation by doing some good work for God. But salvation is completely based upon the mercy and grace of Almighty God. The grace and mercy of Almighty God. I have to think, as I looked at Solomon, and as I look at those folks there in Ezra's day, and I look at these folks in Galatia's day, can you imagine those folks that grew up with these folks that knew something, and when they departed, especially Solomon. They grew up during the reign of Solomon, maybe the same age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. And the wisest human ever born, and in his old age, just go off the deep end and probably say, what will he do next? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, it tells us, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And one translation puts it, some newer thing. Well, there is no newer thing that we want. We want the gospel, and that gospel has been an eternal gospel, foundationed and based upon the covenant of grace that was written down before the foundation of the world. Some scholars do hold that Solomon was caused to write the book of Ecclesiastes after his fall and after his recovery. That would be wonderful if that was. But if it wasn't, the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes still stand. Timothy was instructed. He's a young pastor. And, you know, young pastors, sometimes they're drawn away. They're able to, they want to see things out of the box. Well, I don't know of any gospel preacher, but let's just go over here to the instructions in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there in verse 16. Let's just go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. Now, this should ever arise, whether it be a pastor or a member or a Christian or a believer, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Don't be drawn away. They stick with the gospel. That's what we're called on, to stick with Christ, stick with the gospel. He is our all and in all. Oh, how easy. I heard a preacher the other day say that, and supposedly a preacher of the gospel say that Jesus could have sinned. He didn't, but he could have. Now that is just being drawn away with vain babblings. My goodness, to have a Savior that possibly could have sinned is no Savior at all. To have a Savior that is supposedly doing things that are not mentioned in the gospel, that, and it's just been added to and added to, people drawn away of their own wisdom. And how sad it is. I just pray that the Lord would deal with them, as we find there were some at Galatia dealt with and brought out of that mess. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Ezra could have said this. The folks around Solomon could have said this. Paul writes it here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. We read these wonderful words that are here for our benefit and for our warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. The scriptures say, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And that's what we find those folks that Ezra is praying about and for in Ezra chapter 9. Verses 8 and 9, he declares the gospel. And there is nothing to substitute that. And then he goes on to say, this is what has happened. Now he understood that in his natural state, he was drawn away of all those religions. He was just as pagan as anybody else, even though he may have been a Levite. He was just as pagan as everybody else. It wasn't his position, it wasn't his standing, and it wasn't his office that made him any better or any worse than anybody else. But it was the grace of God. It was the new birth that God brought to him. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. "So be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" They don't mix. And so these folks that wanted to go off and adopt these other gods, by and large, the bulk of them, the majority of them, knew nothing of the gospel, and that's why they could go do that. There may have been a few that went along because their friends were involved in it. There may have been a few that married there in that land because their friends were marrying in that land. Maybe they felt there was just nobody else among the Jews. I don't know. But as Paul wrote to the Galatians, I pray and I believe that there were many, at least a few, that were brought out of that nonsense and brought back to the truth of the gospel. And I pray, it's not going to change it at all, but I like to think Solomon was brought out of that mess. I don't know. I don't know about any of those at Galatia, and I don't know about any of those in Ezra, except in the next chapter, chapter 10, we have several folks saying, "Is it I? Is it I? I've done it. I've done this." Well, excuse me. And what concord, here back in Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 6 and verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, "I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." it is just absolutely, virtually impossible for me to even go to a funeral when the gospel is not preached. It's just difficult, even for a family member. And I just can't abide by that. Well, we find that the disciples, turn with me if you would, in our closing, turn with me if you would to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Ezra understood what is brought out here in Matthew chapter 26. I pray that Solomon was caused to see this. And I pray that those at Galatia were caused to see this. And I pray those at Corinth. And I pray those at Ephesus. And I pray those at Colossae. And I pray those at Laodicea, that they were able to see this, a few. And I pray we here in the Dalles at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church will be able to understand this, that except for the grace of God, there go I. Except His keeping power, there go I. Because here in the book of Matthew chapter 26, very close to the crucifixion, very close to the arrest, trial, and then the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Lord there at the last Passover, and then we have at the institution of the Lord's Supper. In this final stage of His earthly ministry, Matthew chapter 26, and there in verse 20, Jesus shares this information. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 20. Now, when the even was come, He sat down with the 12, and they did eat. And as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now the Lord Jesus knew who that was. When He chose the betrayer as one of His disciples, the Scripture says He knew this was the one. He was not ignorant of this. He was, in fact, He was in charge of this. He chose that one to be the one. And He goes on to tell us here, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Will I be the one to betray you? You know why 11 disciples said that? Because they knew, except for the grace of God, they knew if it wasn't for grace, they could be Solomon's. If it wasn't for grace, they could be Galatians. If it wasn't for grace, they could be as those folks recorded in the book of Ezra. And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it was written of Him, but woe unto him, that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now there's some words different between the words the Lord brought up to the 11 and the words that were brought up here to this one. The 11, He never said anything. You have spoken, you have said, thou hast said. He didn't mention that to them because He was going to keep them. Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. You will all betray me this night. And yet He kept them by the power of His grace. He kept them. But this one who was never part of the whole, this one who was never written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, this one who was never etched on the palm of His hands, this one, Judas Iscariot, this one is identified, and the Lord mentions those words, those three words, Thou hast said. Well, by the grace of God, we will be kept from the problem. This problem that is brought out here in the book of Ezra, this problem that is brought out in the book of Solomon, problem brought out into the letter to the Galatians, the problem brought out to the in the letter to the Corinthians, the letter brought out to the seven churches of Asia. Just look at what those things say. the problem, and that is substituting something else as part of or extra to the gospel. There is nothing that can be added to the gospel, and woe be unto us when we try to take something away from the gospel. It is all that God demands is supplied in the gospel by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord willing, we'll begin that 10th chapter next week as we find this is the close of the prayers brought up, and Ezra begins to speak, and there's folks there in the crowd that begin to say, "It is I. I've done this." Well, we're thankful that the Lord would salvage us from our own selves. Well, we thank you for your time today. May God bless you. Until next time.